so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood.
Just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
And thank you, guys. Let's take our Bibles and go to Esther. Esther chapter 5 is where we're at. This morning we're going to be looking at the actions of faith. The actions of faith. We think about faith. Faith is something that is not an easy thing. Faith, just even in the name, demonstrates something that is a little scary. Usually if it's not something, if it's something that we can see, touch, we understand the results of it, it really doesn't take a lot of faith because we can see it. Faith is going to be more real when it's something that we can't see. We don't know what's going on, and we've got to really trust, just like the song that the guy's just sang. Got to trust. Faith is, you know, there's a dilemma of faith. At some point in time, we're trying to believe something that has been said. You know, somebody says, just believe me, just trust me, or have faith. There's something that somebody has said, they tell us some truth, and we've got to decide, okay, and we can think that we believe it, but there's a certain time that we've got to make a decision. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There's a decision to make, and that's really when we indicate whether we really have faith. I grew up going to Red Cliff Bible Camp out in the mountains of Wyoming. Beautiful place. Absolutely gorgeous place. One of the most beautiful places, in my opinion, in the world. Just there, right in the middle of the Rocky Mountains there, just majestic. Everything that you think of when you think of the Rocky Mountains, Red Cliff Bible Camp is right there, nestled in all of that. One of the things that we did as a staff, and I can't remember if the campers did this, but I know the staff did it for training grounds, was we would hike a distance from the camp, and offsite, outside the camp, there was a really big rock. There was a lot of big rocks out there, and this rock was a big rock, but it was just a huge. When I say a rock, I'm not talking about a mountain. I'm just talking about a rock, okay? And so, don't think a mountain. Otherwise, you'll be disappointed how big I say this is. This was just one rock, but the rock was was, oh, I don't know how tall it would be. I'm guessing maybe the top of the rock was 15, 18 feet tall, and it had one of the sides, it was gradual coming up on one side, and then there was it was flat on one side, and it was just sheer straight down, just a drop there. And for one of the things for the training of the staff is we would go up there and we would all take turns. Everybody else would be at the bottom of that fall, of that drop there, and we would get in two lines, and I would have a partner, and we'd face each other, and there would just be two lines like this, and we'd both face each other, and then we would put our arms just like this, okay? Just like this, so one arm coming this way, one arm going that way, one arm coming this way, and we had it like that. And the person whose turn it was would go up to the top of the rock, and they were supposed to turn around like this, get to the back, put their arms like this, and fall back. Now, I'll tell you, that's, for some of you, you say, oh, I'll do it in a heartbeat. For some of us, and I include myself in that category, that was a tough deal. That was tough. Because I'm going to the top of this rock, and I'm supposed to turn around, I'm supposed to fall. Now, there were instructions. The director of the camp said, the worst thing you can do, well, a couple worst things you can do. He said, midway through it, don't change your mind, okay? Because that's going to be a mess waiting to happen right there. You start turning, you know, it's going to end up in a mess. Another a bad thing that you shouldn't do is you wanted to make sure and fall flat, because if you balled up, you're just going to land on one or two people. If you're flat, the whole group you carry the brunt of your whole weight, okay? You don't want to be a cannonball that just, you know, and that one person got mashed. So you're supposed to go flat. That is, how many of you raise your hands if you've ever done a trust fall like I'm describing? Very few, okay? Well, this is new to a lot of you then. I want to tell you something. That was scary, going up to the top of this thing, because I'm thinking what? They better catch me. They better not get scared and run, because I'm in trouble if they run. They better be there. And so we would have to go. Now, we could talk about it all we wanted to, about how we were bold and brave enough to do it. On my way up there, I could say, yep, I'm going to do this on the way up there. But I want to tell you something. I could even stand here like this and say, oh, that's further than what I thought. But I'll tell you when the true test came, and that was when I did this. And then I had to stand there, and that's when the seconds just go on forever. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can do this. I can't do this. Lord, help me. Why did I ever come to this camp? What am I doing? Pull out my cell phone. Mommy, come get me right now, because I can't do this. And the seconds go on forever. And there were some people that stood there for a long time. You know, the director and the other staff are down there. Come on, you can do it. I did it. You can do it. And you're like, okay, I can do this. Now, up until this point in time, it was one thing to say that you had faith and belief, you know, that they would catch you and that you could do it, right? At what point in time does faith become a reality? You tell me. What's that? Not until I start to fall. But I'll tell you what, giving yourself over to that moment is a big deal. You understand what I'm saying? Now, a lot of you have never done a trust fall before, but I think many of you have been in a place where you have been at the verge of doing something. And you thought it was going to be one thing, and then you got there and you realized it was another thing, and it was very difficult to take that step. Up at Servant's Heart Camp, they have the lake glide, okay, zip line, lake glide. I'm not a horrible heights person, but I'm certainly not a huge fan of them. And I remember going up there the first time, and I'm standing there, and they clipped me in. And I'll tell you what, I wasn't so scared of the equipment. I wasn't scared of, there was a lot of things. You know, I'll tell you who I was mostly scared of, and that was the guys clipping me in. I hope you know what you're talking about. And I hope you, and I hope that you did it right. Because if you didn't, I'm going to fall, and I'm going to die. And I'll tell you, I didn't take a super long time, but before I jumped off, I had to think about it for just a little bit. But there was a certain point in time that I had to say one of these, 3, 2, 1, go, and make my decision. And it's not until that point in time, I could count down, 3, 2, 1, okay, try it again, 3, 2, 1, didn't work, 3, 2, 1, you know, until, it's not even one, it's not until I just step off. Then that is, at that moment, that is the demonstration of faith. I submit to you this morning that faith is an action. Faith brings action. All right, Esther. Remember, we're in Esther chapter 5 now. Remember what's going on. And I don't have the time this morning to review everything that's happened in Esther. Esther, by God's grace, has put her in the throne. She is there, and you would think that because she's at the throne, she's got everything at her fingertips, but that is not true. Esther's there, and it's been a month or so since she's seen the face of the king. You know, those glory days were over, if I could put it that way. The glory days were over. Yes, she becomes queen, and everything is just right, and he favors her, he loves her, and treasures her, but now it's been a while, and again, we're not given all the details, but it would appear that Esther's now been in as a queen and Ahasuerus' wife for quite a while now, maybe even a couple years. But even in that couple years, it's been a month or so since she's even seen the king's face. And everybody knew that the custom was, they were used to it. There were people that wanted to approach the king, and it was a very customary thing that that king held that scepter that was probably as tall as he was, a long skinny thing with a round top on it that was painted a certain color, and they believed that it was red, but red indicating the royalty of the king, and that as he sat there on the throne with that thing, that anybody that appeared at the end of that hallway that entered into the king's court, there where he was, that anybody that even stood there, they didn't have to say a word. If he didn't want to hear from him, and it seemed like, according to history, that it was a normal thing for him not to extend the scepter, and for that person that dared enter that hallway and walk the path to the entrance of that court, that if the king didn't want it, he would do some sort of a motion, and that person would be carried off, and they would be killed in a heartbeat. This was a scary deal. Everybody and nobody except the king knew which one he was going to accept and which one he wasn't. And from my little bit of study that I did on this, it seemed like it was a normal thing for those people to be executed. I don't want to see him today. And so here we have Esther. Again, the last couple weeks, we've gone through this thing back and forth with Mordecai and Esther. Mordecai says, you need to go before. You're the answer. You need to go. Esther says, don't you understand the customs? Mordecai says, I do, but you're the one, at this time to go in and make a difference. And we get to the end of chapter 4, and we see this amazing thing because Esther's getting close to this. See what I'm talking about? You know, even the talking back and forth with Mordecai is one thing. But I want to tell you something. That morning when Esther, or whatever time of day it was, when Esther, and we're going to look at this a little bit closer, but when she says, okay, and she tells her maids to get this dress and to do this and to, you know, all the instructions that she does. She gets all dressed. I don't know if she looked in the mirror and said, oh, here we go. She opens up her door and she goes out there and stands at the entrance. I'm going to go around this wall here. Down at the end of that hall is the king's court, and there I'm going to be able to see the king's face. I want to tell you something. That's far scarier than stepping off a trust fall. That's far scarier than stepping off the the platform at Servant's Heart Camp with the lake glide. Because she knows that one or two steps is going to make the difference of whether she dies or not. So here we have Esther. Now, what did Esther do? Number one, I want you to see that, first of all, before this ever happened, that she was prepared. You know, a person that's going to do something like this, and again, I want you to forget the trust fall, because most of you aren't going to come in, it's not going to be a trust fall in your life. But it's going to be something different, a step of faith that you've got to take. Maybe it's talking to that relative that you've been so nervous to talk to, or that coworker, or maybe it's making that decision for your family, or whatever it is that is for you, that trust situation. Whatever that is. I want you to see, first of all, that she was very prepared. Go back to chapter 4 and let's look at the last part of that. Back in verse 14 was one of the key verses in Esther. And remember, a couple weeks ago, we went back and forth with this volleyball tournament that Mordecai and Esther are having. You know, Esther in the court of women where she is at, she's there sending messages outside to Mordecai, which really he wasn't very far in this little area, Shushan the palace. But she sends a message, and it's like, you know, sends the volleyball to that side, and then he gets it, and he says, okay, but what this? Right in verse 14, Mordecai has got the ball, and he, you know, Esther just says, don't you understand the customs? And Mordecai says, but Esther, you have been placed there, and he suggests, don't you think that you're there for such a time as this? We've probably all heard that phrase from the Bible. It was one of the most, at least in Esther, it's one of the most common verses that's there and familiar. God's put you there for such a time as this. You know, when Mordecai says that, he sends the volleyball back over to the other side for Esther to catch. And in the last few verses, 15 on, we see what she did with that volley. What did Esther do with it? She could have done a number of things. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. So here was her answer. Now, I would submit to you that this is just the start of faith, but it's nothing like this. This is still kind of like climbing up the rock as she gets ready to send the ball back over to the other side in verse 15. She's not here yet. But she does something when she hits that ball over. She does something in verse 15 or 16. And this is what she tells Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews that are past or that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Now that's a tremendous verse as well. Now again, I'm not suggesting that she's at this point yet, but she's looking at it. She's getting ready. She's getting ready to go up that rock. She's getting ready to do something, and she has an amazing spirit about her. And I would suggest to you this morning that Esther was prepared. How did she prepare? Well, let's list a few things here. We know for sure that she is prepared by fasting. Isn't that what she told the people? I want everybody, she says, myself included, Mordecai, you do this, and I want you to tell all the people, all of our people, everybody needs to fast. Now, let's take a time out here. Fasting is an element that we don't preach on a whole lot. It's a difficult thing in the Bible to know exactly everything, and I've wrestled back and forth with fasting. You probably know what I'm talking about. When do I fast, and how do I fast, and what's the significance of it? Am I trying to prove to God that I'm what? And I think, and at some point in time, really, we need to break down what fasting is and study it for ourselves and for me to try to help you understand fasting. Because fasting is something a lot of people struggle and wonder the whys and the hows and the everything about fasting. And I'm not talking about fasting for your health. I'm talking about fasting for spiritual matters, okay? And a lot of people are confused in it, and I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of questions that I have, but I think it'd be good to dive into it at some point in time. But that is not for this morning, but I would suggest to you this, that fasting is not so much an act of us trying to necessarily get God to do something, but it's a state of the heart that finds yourself, and I'm just diving into this just a touch, you find yourself so burdened for it that you don't really care so much to eat. Does that make sense? Sometimes we fast and be like, oh, I dread this today. I'm so hungry, and I so want to eat, and I just can't do this, but I'm going to do this. See, what it ends up turning into is a work. It ends up turning into something that, God, I'm just going to discipline myself to you today so that you'll do something. And I think that we might miss the boat with that. But fast, when we really care about fasting, it's because we care so much about it that eating is kind of very much minor to us. Minor to us. We care about this and we've got to do it. There is a heart matter that comes through here with Esther. She says, listen, we are in a desperate situation. Everybody, you need to go. And I'm going to submit to you something that's not in here. We understand Esther is missing what? God's name, right? God's name is not in there. Is God in Esther, the book of Esther? Not his name, but God's all through Esther. Every part of it. There's not anything that's missing about God. God is all throughout this book. But I'll tell you something else that's not in there, and we see a lot of spiritual things. What comes along with fasting in the Scriptures? Prayer. In fact, when Jesus tells his disciples to fast, he doesn't just say fast. He says, nothing like this comes through but by prayer and fasting. All right? Now, there's a lot of debate, and scholars would say, you know, what was going on here? They just fasted. They must not have been very spiritual. I'm just going to assume something. I don't know for sure, but I really believe with all my heart that it went along with the fasting here of prayer. I do, because that's why the Jews fasted. They fasted when they were praying. They were going to God. They didn't just fast to do it. I believe that they were fasting and praying. You say, well, Pastor, then why doesn't it say it? And I cannot tell you, but one day you can ask the Lord, okay? I don't know, but I believe that they were fasting and praying here. I believe that they went and they set aside some time because there was an immensity of bigness about this situation that was going to go on. I mean, if Esther, it's more than Esther. Esther's going to go before the king. And what happens if the king is not pleased with Esther? She dies. But what does it also mean? So do the rest of the people. The Jews are going to die because this is our hope. This is our chance. And so, and again, unless somebody comes along, which Mordecai already says, you know, God, you know, could do it through somebody else. But here's the chance. So it's a big deal. And when there's a big deal, the people fast and pray. They get alone with the Lord and they say, God, we need your help. We see a dependence in the situation. The immensity of the situation. I would suggest to you a determination. Notice how Esther responds. She says, I will. Her answer is, I'll do it. He says, and so will I go into the king. She makes a decision that she's going to do it. She was doing it. So there was an immensity to the situation. There was dependence. There was a determination. I will do this. And I would suggest that there is a surrender to it as well. A surrender to it. Notice what she ends verse 16 with. She says, and if I perish, I perish. She was very surrendered to God, that God's will being done, whatever that was. She understood it was the right thing to do. She says, I will do this. And even if I die, even if I turn the corner to that hallway that goes into the presence of the king, if I do that and the guards come and grab me and take me away, if I perish, then I perish. God's will be done. Reminds me of Jesus when he's praying in the garden before Judas and the soldiers are going to come and capture him. You remember he goes and he leaves his disciples and they're sleeping and he leaves and he goes. And what does Jesus say to the Father? He says, will this cup pass from me? He's asking this, but I love what he says next. He says, nevertheless, not my will but thine, Lord, be done. God, whatever your will is, if I perish, I perish. Now, as we go on, I want you to look and see what we're talking about here. Let's bring all this in. Esther was getting prepared for this. Is is getting prepared very important for this? Absolutely. I'll tell you what, the likelihood of ever me being able to step off something like that, I'm going to have to be mentally, physically, emotionally prepared to do it. I've got to have my ducks in a row before I ever get to that point. And the time to make the decision is not when you get there. Can I submit that to you very practically in your lives? I'll tell you, and it doesn't matter what your work of discipline is, the time to decide what you ought to do never is when you're faced with it right there. I'll tell you what, 10 times out of 10, if I'm going to make my decision of whether I'm going to step off the trust fall when I'm at the trust fall, I'll never do it. Never. I have to make my decision beforehand. You know what? This is going to be tough. I've got to do this. I've got to do something. I've got to prepare beforehand or I'll never do it. You know, some of you, some of your discipline issues in your battle of discipline can be with eating, okay? For many of us, we have to control what we eat. We've got to think through that. I'll tell you, the worst place to make your decision is when you didn't have time for lunch, you didn't eat a big breakfast, you worked really hard through the day, you enter your home, your wife has some tremendous meal prepared, and it looks good, smells good, enough to feed an army, and it's just you and her. Right? Ooh, that's a good one. I got a lot of food to eat right here. The worst time to make that decision is when you go sit down there and it's there and the smell is just coming right up into your nose and your mouth is watering. You're like, this is amazing. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I ever did a great job of being disciplined when I sat down when that plate was right in front of me. All right, Lord, what should I do? Should I just eat half? Should I eat it all? Should I eat seconds or thirds or fourths? God, what should I do? I want to tell you something. That's a tough situation to make a decision. You understand what I'm talking about? You can take it all other areas, forget the food. You can take it into the, I'll tell you what, making a decision, guys, men, to not look on things that you ought not look at is not right in front of it. If I'm going to make a decision not to do it, I've got to do it a long time before that or a time before I even am faced with it because you're thinking properly then. You know, one of the best times to make a decision is after you've eaten your meal because I'm not starving, I'm not hungry, and I'm thinking, now I'm thinking rationally because I'm in my right mind and I knew, realize, listen, this is won't be good for me and I ought to do this and if I want to do this, this is what I'm going to have to do. My decision is made. When my decision's made, then I can come to that table and say, no, I'm already doing this. I want to tell you, for me, and this is just one of the issues of discipline in my life, if my decision is made, it's so much easier for me to do right no matter what it is, whether it's food or something else. If I have decided I will not, before I go into that grocery store, if I decide, listen, I am not going to look at anything, I'm not looking at, it helps me so much as I'm going through that checkout. I'm not looking over there. My decision's made. But I'll tell you what, if I'm standing there and I'm looking around a little bit, it's going to be very difficult for me to walk away clean and right. You remember Daniel? Daniel was presented with the king's meat and the wine which he drank. He was presented with that, but beforehand, what did Daniel do? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not do it. He'd made his decision before. Now, here we have Esther. She's getting ready to do something that's going to be very difficult. Faith, I want to submit to you this morning. Everybody listen to this. And this is probably one of the main, biggest points of this message this morning is this. You need to prepare yourself for faith. How did we do it? Prayer, fasting, determination, surrender. God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do so that I can be successful in getting victory in this area. I'm ready to do it. I want to do it. I want to have victory. I want to go through this. And that's exactly what Esther did. Esther prepared herself. She said, listen, everybody needs to fast. Everybody needs to pray. I want this. I want to see God work in this situation, and we're going to do what it takes. We need to be prepared. Faith is prepared. Second, she acted. Okay, so she prepares. Everybody fasts. Everybody prays. Everybody, you know, there's determination. I'm going to do this, and here's what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to do it. And notice what she does next. Let's get to chapter 5 now. Now, it came to pass on the third day, so they fasted for 3 days, that Esther, here's the first thing that she did. She put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court. And I'm going to stop right there. We see here she acted her faith. A person can have as much faith, if I can put it in parentheses, as they want, and as they get motivated about it, but it still takes, I can make the decision all I want to. And by the way, is the decision-making process being prepared before very important? What's the answer? Absolutely. You better be prepared. You better make your mind up already. You're going to do it. I'm going to do this. Here's how I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. But I'll tell you what, you can have as much determination as you want to, but you still have to take that step. I've seen a number of people make the determining factor, you know, the preparations all, and they get up there and they might even turn around, but they never will do it. And they end up walking down. You know, in a sense, we respect them. We understand their fears and struggles. I'm not really even talking about a trust fall, but the answer really is they didn't pull through with their faith. The end result is they did not trust the people down there, and they couldn't do it. I remember in some of our soul winning training that we used to do with we had a video back there, and there was an illustration that was being used about faith and belief, and there was some sort of a tightrope walker there that went across the Niagara Falls, and he would do it, and he was a showboat doing it, and he just had this ability to go across, you know, on this tightrope and do everything, and he, you know, put in a wheelbarrow, you know, and cooked an egg on a stove on the wheelbarrow. He did all kinds of crazy stuff. And I remember one time, and this is just the illustration that was in that the teacher of the video was telling, that he said one time, and he's demonstrating faith here. He said one time he's getting ready and he was going to do some feat, and he was going to have a wheelbarrow and go across the Niagara Falls, and he was going to take a live person in there with him. And so the crowd's standing there, and he said, "How many of you believe that I can do this?" And they all raised their hand, and they're like, "Yeah, I believe." And then this guy looked in the crowd, and he said, "Okay, I want you to come get in." And you know what that individual did? They're out of there. And that's what I would have done too. No way I'm going across that thing. Question, did the guy that ran away believe? What do you think? No way. He didn't believe. You know, we can prepare all we want to, but there's got to be steps. What steps did Esther take here? Now, you might take it as something very simple, but the fact is she went and put on her royal robes, right? She went and did that. She took a step. You know what? She could have laid there in bed that morning and said, "I can't do this. I'm not going to get up." You know what? There was a point in time that she had to get up and she had to go get dressed. I am going for that. Although it seems very simple and small, Esther had to go and get dressed and get ready to go. She was doing things to prepare herself, not just prepare herself, but to take the action and to go out there. It says she put on a royal apparel. And then second of all, she stood in the inner court of the king's house. She took those steps. She stood there and she presented herself and she went around that corner. And there it was in verse 2. There she stands, long hallway, king's court, and there's the king. She took the step. You know, I don't know how long Esther took getting ready that morning. I don't know how long it took her to take that step. There have been times in my life that I've come up to things and it took me forever. You remember the story out in Wyoming in the oil field that I told you about the snake? You guys remember that? The rattlesnake? Some of you remember. Okay, some of you don't remember. I'll tell you, it was I can tell you, I wasn't afraid of rattlesnakes when the rattlesnake was over there and I had my .22 and I shot it. And I did a lot of that. Okay? I'll tell you what was another thing, when that thing was under that building that day and I couldn't shoot underneath it because something might explode, it might hit a gas line, you don't want to do that, so I had to use a shovel. I'm not joking to you. The only thing, my boss had told me, don't you dare leave a rattlesnake alive and walk away from it, because if you leave it, it'll get the next guy. Don't mess around with it. I still remember those intense moments that I'm standing there in the heat of that Wyoming sun there that day, and it was a hot day, and I stood there, and I'm not joking. I probably, that rattlesnake was coiled up under just a couple inches underneath that building there, just enough to where I could have taken my shovel. See, in order to get that thing, I would have had to have put my shovel inside that thing and pull it out and then go after it. That's what I had to do. There was no other choice. I couldn't do anything else. You have no clue how long it took me to get up enough nerve and courage to, because I would get that thing and I was praying, Lord help, Lord help, Lord help me, Lord help me, I got to do this. But I had to put that shovel under there. And you know how many times I had that shovel in there sitting right next to that rattlesnake? It was sleeping away, snoring. No, I don't know if it was snoring. But it was sleeping, and I liked it sleeping. But I knew that I would go against my boss if I didn't do something about it. The easiest thing would have been to drive away. But I knew that I couldn't. And I remember how many times, you know, I'm kind of like backed up to the edge of that thing there, and I sat there, my heart was thumping. My heart was thumping more than I've ever felt in my life. My heart was thumping, like, okay, you know, and I did 3, 2, 1, 100 times. But there was a point in time that I had to make a decision, and I had to make a decision to go like this. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. Faith requires an action. You can look at it all you want to, all day long, but at some point in time, there's got to be a muscle twitch of some sort where we start the ball rolling. Faith has to do everything with God, but it takes and requires some human muscle. Does that make sense? Faith, a lot of confusion is out there about faith and what it means. Faith is not just saying, God, you do it, but don't ask me to do anything. I'm just going to watch you save my neighbor. God can save your neighbor anyway, but I'll tell you what, it might take you to take a step to go over to your neighbor and talk to them. Faith involves action. And that action is very scary sometimes. That initial step. You think about what those priests were thinking when they were about ready to step into the Jordan River. Think about what they were experiencing. Their job was to step into the Jordan River and to go across. And God said that He would do it. But I'll tell you what, it must have been a scary thing to step off the banks that day as they were there. I don't know how many 3, 2, 1s that they did. But I'll tell you what, there had to be a step. And they could sit there and look at the Jordan. They could believe God all they wanted to. But until they actually use that muscle to lift up that leg and start going, it wasn't faith. But I'll tell you, there was a split second moment when those two front priests went like this. My friends, I want to tell you something amazing, and we're going to see this in the last two things. It's amazing. Our job is just to twitch the muscle and get it going. And you know, as soon as we twitch that muscle, God takes over. God takes over, and He does the work for us. The hardest thing, though, is to do this or to do this. The hardest thing is just to start moving. Once we start moving, God takes over. But my friend, this point I want you to see, it does require, you can have enough faith, you can say you trust God all you want to, but until you move, until you step out, it's not going to happen. And it's not faith. When it comes to witnessing and sharing the gospel with other people, I want to tell you, you can dread it, fear it, worry about it, don't know what you're going to say, want to run away, and you can sit there with your heart thumping, and I suggest, start talking. Just start talking. You go to that door and you knock on the door, just start talking. Just start. God will take over. But faith is trusting in those ones with their arms like this, trusting in God that He'll take over. And He'll do it. We just have to use our muscles to do it. So faith involves our action. Once we step out physically, the rest is up to Him. Faith acts. Faith prepares. Faith acts. Thirdly, God proved Himself faithful, didn't He? And I'm not going to spend a long time. This is God's testimony. What did God do? Wow. And when it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the, this is verse 2, in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Notice that she obtained favor. That word obtained is interesting. It's to lay down an offer. The king laid down and offered to be lifted up and taken. It was laid down. It said, obtained favor. The king himself offered that favor. There must have been an amazing emotion when Esther stood there and the king went like this. Amazing. She came forward and she put her hand on the end of that thing. she had known that she had obtained it. That king gave it. It wasn't something that Esther grabbed herself. God gave it. Folks, understand, faith is all, yes, faith is preparing, faith is stepping out, but faith has everything to do with the one giving it. Again, yes, all that's required is a movement of a muscle and bone. But I'll tell you what, God takes over and He takes care of everything. And we can obtain favor. And she obtained favor that day. The king, again, lay down and offered by the king for the purpose of being lifted up and taken for herself. It was an offering. There was grace given to her. And I love that thought. Grace given. Friends, when we step out, when we're on top of that trust fall or we're getting ready to start to witness, God extends amazing grace. Grace when we do it. I'll never forget that time that I was witnessing that individual and I was scared to death to talk to them. Scared to death to talk. And I didn't know how. And I didn't say a word, didn't say a word, didn't say a word. And I came to that point. I said, Sean, you just need to open your mouth. Just open your mouth. I didn't know what I was going to say. I opened my mouth and God took over. And for the next, who knows how long, 20 minutes, half hour. I want to tell you something. It was easy. It was absolutely easy after I opened my mouth, but it was the hardest thing to open my mouth. Some of you are scared to death to open your mouth. Some of you are scared to death to knock on the door. Some of you are scared to death to make that decision, scared to death to confront that person, scared to death to do whatever it is. My friend, I want to tell you something. You just move, twitch a muscle, make the movement of faith. That the movement of faith, it's an action of faith. You make that, God will take over. Did God take over here? Absolutely. She moved, and the king extended a scepter. But I want to tell you, even lastly, more than just put down the scepter, it's amazing what the king said to her. Hadn't seen her in more than 30 days. You'd think that she was all washed up and she was gone. But God showed himself faithful. She obtained favor from the king. And what an amazing thing that was. That she obtained that favor, that grace and that acceptance. By the way, listen, here's a tremendous verse. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Listen, no matter who you're up against, no matter what's going on, God is the one that can give that favor. It really has nothing to do with that scary person or that boss or that relative or that king. It has nothing to do with them. It's God that's given the favor. When I step out by faith and I witness that person, I'm dealing with God here. And God says, okay, now I'm going to bless you. It's not that other individual. It's God. Amazing things happen when we obtain favor with man. You know, I think, and God does it. Every year we watch the clubs. Every year we watch and we don't know, are we going to get favor with man? Are we going to get favor with man? I want to tell you, it has nothing to do. And by the way, I don't know who the individual is that makes the decision. I don't know if it's individual principals. I don't know if it's a superintendent. I don't know who it is. Maybe we know, but I don't know. But I do really know. I'll tell you what, it's obtaining favor of the Lord. And the result of that is to thank the Lord. God gives his favor. It was God that gave Esther the favor with King Ahasuerus. So the faithful one gives. And lastly, God proved himself abundantly faithful or abundantly gracious. Look at verse 3. And then said the king. I mean, Esther 10 seconds ago was afraid that she might lose her life. And now the king says, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to half of the kingdom. Not only did God or the king lay down his favor by accepting Esther's presence, but he also extended more abundant grace for whatever she wanted. God's good. He's amazing. But I need to remind you that God's goodness really has nothing to do with all that he does and he gives that is good. No, God is good. No matter what he does. Would God have been good if the king would not have put down his scepter that day? He would have. And he would have been just as faithful as he was. He would, because God knows what's best. And if that wasn't going to happen, he had a better plan for his people. We always have to have this mentality. So what are the actions of faith in review as we close? Number one, preparations. We need to prepare for faith. I would encourage you in your life today, before you get into the situation with your boss at work, before you get into the situation at home, before you get into the dilemma where you're standing like this, before you get there, I would encourage you to prepare, to pray, to fast, to ask God to work, to do your preparatory work. God, we need you because this is a big deal. God, I need your help. Go to the Lord that can help you. Prepare. Second of all, physical action. Remember that there's muscle and bone to act. Simply step out and watch God with His providence and His presentation of favor. Watch God's abundant grace above and beyond. You see, faith has everything to do with a faithful God, but we need to act. And aren't you so thankful? Aren't you so thankful that when God commissioned His only Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross, as Jesus Christ went to the garden that day, went and prepared Himself and said, Father, I don't really want to do this. I don't have the strength to do this, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine, Lord, be done. Made the decision to do it. Stood up and went and got His disciples and says, it's time now. We see the actions of Esther here. It's time, and they're going to be coming, and there they are. And why do you need swords? Why don't you just take me? Because the time has come. And Jesus willingly laid down His life, I would suggest can I say faith? He laid down His life willing for us. He stepped off and He said, listen, God, I commend myself. I commit myself. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And you and I benefit from that act of faith today. And that's what we're about to celebrate as we go to the Lord's table. Aren't you thankful that there was a person like Esther? Aren't you thankful there was an individual like Jesus Christ that prepared, presented, and proved an amazing God? What an amazing God we have. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your willingness to go to the cross. Thank you so much for Esther's willingness to go to the King. God, and I pray that you would help us on this earth, that we would be people that would prepare ourselves and present ourselves and act. Lord, I pray that we'd be people that would watch your goodness and your love and your care and watch a good God in action. And God, thank you so much. And for now, we celebrate all that you've done for us, and we all benefit, and we're so grateful for what you've done on the cross. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'm going to